This morning I'm preaching from Joshua. I'm preaching from Joshua on living the truth of God's word, especially in respect to it requiring unusual behavior from you. That's the message this morning. And there's no way to consistently operate in the truth unless you know what the truth is. You got to get it, rightly interpret it, believe it, and you do it. Follow that template and you know you're operating in truth. And be ready for operating in unusual behavior. This is what God calls us to as Christians, peculiar people. And you will be tested in this over and over again. Joshua gives us a good lesson on it. Now here's the context. Israel was freed from slavery to Egypt. After wandering in the wilderness, they ended up at the border of the promised land, 40 years. There they are. They ended up not entering the promised land. And then Moses sent spies over into that land at that time. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, everyone needs to enter because God's going to protect us. He's going to give us victory over our enemies. It was God's promise. But Israel lacked faith and they refused to enter. So God barred that generation from entering. They are the ones that were barred, but God said their children will enter. And so when Moses died, Joshua replaced them, and now it's 40 years later. That's the context. And the Israelites are camped on the banks of the Jordan River. The promised land is on the other side. You can see it from the other side. So this river is like a wall. It's separating them from their inheritance. And now when you think about the Jordan River, the average width is about 100 feet across, and it's between 3 to 10 feet deep. Well, this was flood season when they were there. And the floods brought the river up to a mile wide at many places and 12 feet deep. Current was fast. The current was strong. If you know anything about rushing strong rivers, you understand what that means. And at this time, God gave Joshua supernatural communication. Now, Joshua would get God's word directly from the Lord. Joshua also had the written word of God, like Genesis, and also the Mosaic law that had been given to them. Joshua listened to God's word. He got inspiration from it. He got direction from it. Some of it seemed normal. Some seemed unusual. That's always the way it is. As you read God's word, you're studying it, you're assimilating it into your life as instruction, be ready, because it requires some unusual behavior. And it tells you to do things that are counterintuitive. And it will remind you over and over of them. It'll pick at you with them. But it tells you, you're going to have to do this. God told Joshua, he said, it's time to enter the promised land. And God reminded Joshua about his word. He said his promise was that every place the Israelites stepped belonged to them. Well, now God's word is this. Go over the river. Go over the river. Joshua was operating in the basic lesson. Listen and do God's word. That's our basic lesson. Live your life according to what he's already told you. Be ready to do whatever it is. And if God tells you to do unusual behavior, do that too. God's word told Joshua that nobody's going to defeat the Israelites for the rest of Joshua's life. Well, that's an amazing promise. You get a promise in the Bible, latch on to it. It's real. It's true. It's a promise. It's part of your faith anchor when you go through fear and confusion, when you are called to do something unusual. Well, God told Joshua, I will not fail you nor forsake you. Well, that's truth to bank on. Now, prophetically, that promise from God is for you too. In Romans 8, God tells you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's your guarantee in your spiritual salvation in Christ. We have the Christ covenant. Sin and death will not defeat you, ever. God's always with you, always, always. He's always for you. And he says, for us, rest in this fact. Rest in Christ, and that rests in your security. That's the surety of your security. It's in him. And what you're doing is putting your faith on the side of the truth of God. So that's what God told Joshua. Go and have faith. Seems like it'd be enough. But then God said three different times, be strong, be brave. Three times. So when it comes to the unusual, sometimes uncomfortable things that God's word tells you to do, your faith walk requires being strong and brave. You already know you need to be. But God keeps reminding you of this over and over again. The Spirit is like your coach, your team captain, your cheerleader, all of it together. And he's encouraging you in the faith walk. Be strong. Be brave. You can do it. God said to Joshua, be strong and brave, because you are about to get the land I swore to my people. And God said something else. He said, be careful to do according to the scripture. Obedience to God's word is part of all this. When you are weak, you'll be tempted to compromise God's word. God told Joshua, be careful. Obey my word. The Mosaic law was Israel's instructions. We have New Covenant apostolic revelation to guide us in life and the Spirit. It gives us the lens to look into Joshua for our lessons. Be strong and be brave is the continuous lesson. Be careful to do according to Scripture, all of it. God told Joshua, the Scripture will not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do what is written. And then God said it again, be strong, be brave. He said, the Lord's with you wherever you go. And so now that you have and I have, we have the Holy Spirit, God's actual Holy Spirit. You receive the Spirit in salvation. Know that the Lord is with you wherever you go. Whatever you're in, you're not alone. God is with you. In Christ Jesus, you are a living temple of the living Spirit, the living God. You have a very unique relationship right now with the Lord. His word also needs to be there in you. The Holy Spirit works with his word. To walk in the Spirit, walk according to his word. And so what God told Joshua is also your calling. Meditate on Scripture so you will be careful to do it. Speak it. Go forward in strength. Go forward in bravery. You might say, but I'm not strong. I am not brave. Well, I'm not either. We're all weak. But God's word tells me that when I'm weak in myself, I'm strong in Christ. And that's the way we all are. And God uses your weaknesses to bring spiritual strength. Amen. The strength is reliance on him walking in his word by faith. Strength and bravery is faith at work by the Spirit according to his word. And God wants you to do that because you can do that. Now, Joshua was walking in faith in God's word. So Joshua rallied all the people together, and what do you think he did? He quoted God's word to them. I mean, his warriors also gave Joshua some advice. The scripture says they quoted God's word back to him. They said to Joshua, be strong, be brave. And this is how God wants all of us to operate. We're all led by the Spirit, so we should all be building up one another with God's word. Build one another up. Seek to do that. Seek to do all for edification, for building up, not tearing down. But use God's word. And then Joshua sent two spies into Jericho to check it out. Remember, I talked about Rahab the harlot. If you weren't here, that's what I preached on last week. Rahab the harlot hid them, helped them sneak out of the city. The spies promised to protect her and her family. So they told her to tie a red cord on her window so the Israelites would know how they were supposed to go to her place and not hurt her or her family. Red cord, put it in the window. And when the spies got back, Joshua had a good picture of the situation. But living God's word requires unusual behavior. Israel had the Ark of the Covenant with them, had God's word in it, also had Aaron's rod in it, a rod that budded with flowers miraculously by God, had a gold vessel in it with manna from heaven. That's also a miraculous food, supernatural. And the Ark also had power, had the Holy Spirit with it. And like I said earlier, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Word in us. It had the law in it. And we don't have to carry the Ark in front of us anymore. We are vessels of the Holy Spirit. We are tabernacles of God. And the next day, the Ark was carried by the priests ahead of the people. The Lord gave Joshua more of his Word. And he said he's going to exalt Joshua so everyone will know that God is with Joshua like God had been with Moses. And God told Joshua, tell the priests, carry the ark over to the Jordan River. And he said, when the priests stand in the water, the water is going to be cut off. The water flowing from upriver is going to supernaturally stand in one big heap, one big wave. Well, all Israel knew that to live God's word requires behavior. And if it's unusual, you do it anyway. The Jordan was flooding at the time, but when the priests waded into the water, it happened. Upriver, the water rose into a heap at a standstill. And the priests were carrying the ark. They stood in the middle of the river in a dry riverbed. And then everybody just walked past the priests, all the thousands of them. And God told Joshua to have 12 men, one from each tribe, pick up stones, be 12 stones total from the riverbed, carry them over to the other side. God wanted those rocks to be a memorial so that when their children ask about the meaning of the stones that they see, It's like the Word of God. They'll be told that God's Word says that they're there because the water was stopped by God. It's the place Joshua later named Gilgal. And when you live in God's Word, unusual behavior is a matter of being an expected principle. So, more unusual behavior was to come. The Lord told Joshua, tell the priests to come out of the riverbed. And when they walked out, the water flowed again. Joshua set up 12 stones as a memorial to point out that it was like God had parted the Red Sea for Israel to cross years earlier. And that landmark memorial was so people all over the earth will know that God is mighty. And so you think about those stones, they represented what? God's Word. To look at the stones was to look at their meaning. All the events we were reading about had become God's Word. So we're studying them now as God's Word. And it says, Amorites and Canaanites heard about the Lord drying up the Jordan. Well, they heard God's Word. And God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says that when they heard God's Word, they lost their courage because of the sons of Israel. And what did Israel do? They just kept on. They were living God's Word. So what do you think was required? Unusual behavior. The next unusual thing Joshua told everyone to do was circumcise the males. So now here they are over in the other side of the land, and all the circumcised males who had come out of Egypt 40 years before had died in the wilderness. The males born in the wilderness were never circumcised. Well, that was strange. Circumcision was the covenant sign since Abraham. And now it's part of the Mosaic law the Israelites carried with them as old covenant command. God's word said, you need to do this. I mean, it said all male children had to be circumcised on the eighth day. It said that any male who didn't get circumcised, even when they were older, was supposed to be cut off from Israel. So how are we supposed to understand this strange existence of males being born over the last 40 years? They're all being uncircumcised. Well, you have to go back generations to the first circumcision. God told the father of all the Jews, Abraham, to do it, and it was unusual behavior, but you do it, right? And the reason for that circumcision is important for those Israelites there at Gilgal, other side of the river. They're in the promised land. God's word in Romans 4 says Abraham was declared righteous by faith. Quoting God's word in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And it says faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness while uncircumcised. You following me? And it says, Abraham received the sign of circumcision because of the faith he had while uncircumcised. So think about Israel at the Jordan. Same principle was happening with them. As soon as they entered the promised land, their faith, which was different than their mother's and father's faith that rejected going over, their faith was credited to them as righteousness. Generation earlier, all those people refused to enter in lack of faith. That's unrighteousness. The next 40 years had a sign of that previous group's lack of faith. You know, circumcision is just a sign. Well, that sign was uncircumcision of their babies. So now in faith, the males were circumcised as more than the legacy from Abraham and the Mosaic law. They're circumcised in respect to their own faith move, made evident in believing God and going over into the promised land. And their faith fulfilled what was required for righteousness. And now in Christ Jesus, you get the ultimate fulfillment of circumcision too, but now it's spiritual. We all get it, male, female, everybody in Christ Jesus. God's word in Romans 4 explains to you concerning salvation in Christ that the promise to Abraham was not through the Mosaic law, but through the righteousness of faith. That's what we have. Romans 4 says, for this reason, it is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace so that the promise will be guaranteed, not only to those who are the Mosaic law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. God's grace to you is that faith in Christ Jesus for the spiritual inheritance gets spiritual salvation. So, what we look back there at Israel, they waited till they entered the promised land to apply circumcision. So when they did it, they patterned Abraham by receiving the sign of righteousness of the faith which they had while uncircumcised. The old faithless Israel was left behind. New reborn nation entered God's promised land by faith. And so you really need to see how this all points to you too. God's word in Colossians 2, 10 through 15 says, in Christ you have been made perfect. It's in him. It's him in you. In him you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, it says. in the removal of the body of the flesh, that's the sinful image of Adam, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him, you were also raised up with him, that's past tense, in your salvation, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were spiritually dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, it says, he made you alive together with Christ. And it's a past tense. Having forgiven already you of all your sin and transgressions, having canceled out already the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against you, which was hostile to you, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Well, that's you. Spiritual circumcision. And all this is beautiful, but remember, we're looking at living God's word, and it requires unusual behavior for his people. You're not declared righteous by works, but your behavior is important, and your behavior in faith is the big issue. So when we think about this mass circumcision of all these men, remember, Israel just entered into where their enemies can get to them now. But the men just made themselves bedridden, the scripture explains. That's another faith move. Actually, Joshua said, go out and make yourselves blades out of flint. Circumcise yourself. Wow. Talk about ultimate faith. So they couldn't fend off an attack from an enemy. It's showing the faith at every point. And in God's word in James, it explains that Abraham's works demonstrated his faith was real. It didn't make him righteous. It just demonstrated his righteousness. It demonstrated that his faith was real. So with the Israelites, this faith move showed they believed God would protect them while they healed. And he did. So after they stayed there and after they healed, Joshua got God's word again. And the Lord said, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And that's when they called that place Gilgal, which means roll away. Same thing as you spiritually in Christ. Christ was crucified, buried, stone was rolled away by God. And in him, God has rolled away the reproach of bondage to sin and death that you used to have. Now you exist as the righteousness of God in him. You exist that way by faith in him. And then after observing Passover according to God's word, the Israelites started eating food they gathered from the promised land. That's where they were starting to get it. You know, they've been eating miraculous manna from heaven for years. Manna was a survival provision from God for wilderness life. That's why it existed. God provided it each day to be gathered off the ground. Apparently, it was so nutritious, it was truly a superfood. The next day, after eating from the promised land, God quit sending the manna. That was it. The fruits of the promised land had replaced it as a provision from God now for them in their possession. And it never stops. Living God's word requires unusual behavior from his people. So while they camped there near Jericho, Joshua looked up and a man standing there with a sword in his hand. Joshua was surprised. He asked the man, are you for us or for our adversaries? The man said he had come as the captain of the army of the Lord. And this was the angel that God promised back 40 years before to Moses in Exodus 23:20-22. And in the prophecy, we read that God said, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not forgive your transgression, since my name is in him. If you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Well, this shows that the angel is God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity. You have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Joshua bowed down, asked him, what has my master to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. Joshua did it, and he's getting the sense battle is coming. You know, he knew God was with him in holy alignment in the Holy Land. And across the plain, the people of Jericho locked the gate, city gates. You could see Jericho way off. And they could see. They knew Israel was coming. The Lord spoke to Joshua again. He said he had given Jericho into Joshua's hand. The king and all of his warriors would fall. Over and over again, Joshua had the promises of God's word in mind. He got confirmation over and over again. Look for confirmation. And now that the word of God was filling Joshua with knowledge, the call to unusual behavior was about to develop in a more pronounced way. Always look for this in your own life. The more you get into God's word and the more you seek him and the more you operate, you're going to be called to do more and more unusual things, and they're going to be more and more unusual. And with Joshua, the Lord told him to have the warriors go to the city and march around the city one time each day for 6 days. So, and then he wanted seven priests to be in front to carry seven trumpets before the ark, that the ark was going to be with them, the Ark of the Covenant, and blow them. And then on the last day, the seventh day, everyone was to march around the city seven times. Priests were to blow the trumpets, and all the people were to shout, and the wall of the city is going to fall down. When that happens, the people are going to rush into the city. This is what they're told is going to happen and what they need to do. Now, this is a very complex template. It is unusual behavior. But when God's word tells you what to do, the only option is what? You do it, right. So they took the ark around the city once, then they went back to the camp, to Gilgal. Then he did it again the next day, and each day for 6 days. Now, when I think about this, I think about the people marching around the wall of Jericho, and each time they pass a certain place, and they look over, and they saw, up in a window, what'd they see? A red cord tied. Well, that was the house of Rahab the harlot. She was the non-Jew who had faith in the one true God. She's the one who helped the spies, so they promised to save her from the destruction. When the seventh day came, they marched around the city seven times, and at the seventh time, Joshua told them that the city and everything in it belongs to the Lord. They were not to covet anything in it, or take any of it, so that the camp of Israel will not be cursed with trouble. All silver, all gold articles, bronze, iron, all of it's holy to the Lord. It's going to go into the Lord's treasury, God said. And then Joshua said, but Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live because she hid the messengers that we sent. And then Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So the people shouted. The priests blew the trumpets, and according to the word of God, all of these giant walls around the city fell down. They went into the city, they destroyed everything. They brought Rahab the harlot, her family, her possessions out, and she lived in the midst of the Israelites, even marrying a Jewish man named Salmon, and their son was Boaz, the famous man who married Ruth in the book of Ruth. And in God's amazing sovereign plan, Rahab was also a great-grandmother of Jesus, our Lord. So, they got her and her family out, and they got the city valuables out for the treasury. Then they burned the city. And then Joshua made the Israelites take an oath to never rebuild Jericho or else be cursed. And so what I'm saying in a nutshell is living God's word requires unusual behavior from you. And God's word tells you to do unusual things, like look at others as being better than yourself. It tells you to love the unlovely. It tells you to be nice to people who are not nice to you. If one member suffers, every member suffers. It says if one is honored, all are honored. God's word says to continue with one another. Be committed. That's very unusual behavior in our time. God's word says to be at peace and trust Him. When there's no peace, there's nothing to trust about the situation you go through. That's unusual behavior. We're called to do it. And God says that whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is unusual behavior for the world, but it's supposed to be usual behavior for us. It's still a call, and it still is unusual, but we do it. God's word says to look for the coming of Jesus. God's word says to pray about everything and every single thing. Make your request known to God. God's word says to give bountifully, fully, believing that you'll also reap bountifully. You'll always have an abundance for every good deed. These are unusual things. It's all about unusual behavior. God's word says, believe, obey, and trust. Amen? Amen?